truckers, broken-hearted fools and suckers. We got hustlers, we got fighters, early birds and all-nighters. And the veterans talk about their battle scars.
Why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis, freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about,
fine.
But Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it any time he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so damn always?
Hey,
and with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there's absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite? It sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. Alrighty then, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench on a Monday, the 22nd of January, 4 days from the 2-year anniversary of LaVoy Finicum's murder.
out in the middle of nowhere. I'm sure there'll be a lot of stuff on Facebook about that here starting in a couple of days. 2 years, right? Yeah, January 26, 16, 17, yeah, 2 years. So, a sad day, but I know Lavoie got everything he always wanted. I'm sure it didn't turn out exactly the way he wanted. I'm sure he didn't plan on dying to do it, but he was sure willing to, and his death has woken up more Americans than any other single event probably in the history of this country. And it's been quite a ride for the last couple of years here. We've still got Northwest Heavy. I need to get with you here sometime in the next, I don't know, next 2 or 3 weeks or so, and no rush, but we've still got the class in Washington, Vancouver, Washington, coming up 11th, 12th, and 13th of May. 3-day personal defense handgun with a night shoot. It's an awesome class, a lot of fun. We've put a heck of a lot of people through that, and that's probably the most popular one we do when we're out on the road. We've done a lot of disaster preparedness seminars and a couple of rifle classes, and well, more than a couple, but not nearly as many as the handgun stuff. So, and then we've got one coming up in Pueblo, Colorado. Haven't got a date set on that yet. And the enhanced CCW class in Bullhead City, Arizona, next weekend. So, anyway, we're not quite as full a calendar as we used to have all the time, but we've still got stuff going on. But, you know, for the first time in over 2 years, I am completely caught up. Well, I was, but I'm only two behind right now. And that is the first in over 2 years on my Glock dry practice kits. The Army has been killing me on those things. And so I'm all caught up. I've got a couple of, I just had another one ordered tonight. So I got three individuals that I need to get out here in the next few days. But it's a good feeling not to have, you know, 20 or 30 behind waiting on the, you know, in the Army calling me all the time wanting to know what's going on with their order. So very cool. Glad to be caught up. Had some things here to share with you. I was looking for one particular type of, I'll tell you what, I'll run in the bedroom here in a minute and grab one of those batteries and see. But I've got some, I know it's right here, it's ultra bright, maybe. I think it's ultra bright. Anyway, I'll go check here in a minute. A lot of these newer flashlights coming out are dang sure good lights, and they just had another one. Let me find it here. Just had one come out here just recently. Not sure it's even available yet. Hang on just a sec. Just had it here. By the way, speaking of screwing up everything, our show on Friday, Liberty Lounge, with Somebody Done Somebody's Song Wrong, I got it cleaned up as well as I could, and it's available online now. It's on podcast now. So now then, Streamlight has just come out with a really neat little light. Streamlight makes good lights. They're right up there pretty close to Surefire. But what I was going to mention on these flashlights is that Surefire does not have a monopoly on these things anymore. There are some very, very good, very inexpensive lights out there. I think we talked about that not too long ago, so I won't spend any time on it. But Streamlight has just come out with the Polytac X, or I don't know if that's supposed to be Polytac 10, I don't know. But it's a 600 lumen light, and it holds two of the CR123 batteries, high output setting from a 200 meter beam distance. Anyway, neat little polymer light. Let's see what the battery versatility, power lumen, polytech, 1, 2, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. waterproof 1 meter for 30 minutes. Impact resistant, lie tested it for 3 meters. And I'm trying to get you a price here. He's got, you can recharge either one or two of the 18650 batteries or through AC, DC, or USB power. So $49, that's what I was looking for. So pretty reasonable price for as good as these lights are. Might be one you want to look at for an EDC light. It's about the right, doesn't have a bulbous type head on it, just barely. It's got a reversible clip. I should say a two-way clip. It'll clip either, let's say you wanted to put it on your cap, either, I don't know how to explain it. Anyway, the clip works two different ways, so let's just leave it at that. So I think I'm going to try one of these. I mean, I've got kind of a fetish for flashlights. I've got a lot of flashlights, but I use a lot of them. We've got them everywhere. Amy carries one in her purse. My daughter carries one all the time. And we've got one in the truck and one in each of our backpacks. Got one in my pocket right now. And one laying on the nightstand. I like these new little lights. Okay. Oh, Doc went out and bit the bullet here and shot in first cowboy axe match. That's fun. Still came in second place. Yeah, good deal. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. They have some big ones here in Arizona and New Mexico. Matter of fact, I think the what they call the end of the trail, the biggest one in the country, I believe, is in right outside of Moriarty, New Mexico. And I've been out to that range. We actually went out and did a rifle class out there at that range one time several years ago, probably, I don't know, 10 years ago, I guess. Pretty neat deal. And no, it couldn't have been 10 years ago because it's been since Amy and I was married, so 7 years ago, probably. Anyway, let's move on here. We've got some other things we need to talk about. I don't know if you guys have checked on this or not, but the Army has, or the military, it doesn't necessarily say Army, but believe it or not, it has a zombie apocalypse training manual. I hear there's two of them. There's one of them that goes back quite a bit farther back. This one is dated 2011. And if you want to look it up, April 2011, if you want to look it up, it's CONOP8888. Or Counter Zombie Dominance is what it is. But it's CONOP, C-O-N-O-P, and then 4-8, dated April 2011. Supposedly, and I don't know if this is a fact, but it was supposedly found buried on a secret military computer. Tells military planners how to defeat the invasion of flesh eaters, how to preserve the sanctity of non-zombie life. From Magic Zombie. Now, I don't know if this is just a something some jokesters put together and stuck out there somewhere or what the deal is. But anyway, you can, I think I downloaded this. I don't remember. Here it is right here. Read the full zombie apocalypse training manual right here. And it says, Headquarters, United States Strategic Command. Anyway, it's kind of interesting. I haven't read the whole thing yet. I do have it downloaded. 31 pages, small manual. I don't know if they're just preparing for every possible eventuality or if they just got drunk one night and decided we'd make a zombie manual as a joke. I'm not sure. But anyway. Is it... No, it doesn't say April 1st, Yakima Glock. I don't think there was a... Oh, stop, would you? Jeez. Let's see here. This says April 2011. It's not a date on it. Or not a day, anyway. Anyway, if you guys want to look it up, it's out there. Available to read if you want. We had some, is NM Glock with us?
Let me check here. NM Glock is, yeah, he's in there. Just got in there. For,
so, NM Glock, you, I think, no, we already have already talked about this. We talked about the deputy marshals that, that resigned after they hogtied the woman out of Moriarty. I mean, Magdalena, New Mexico. Magdalena is a little town just not too far west of I-25, kind of south central New Mexico, and right on Highway 60, as a matter of fact. And the these deputies resigned. They are out of a police force now in Magdalena. They have one sheriff, I think, that runs around there and takes care of everything. I don't remember if we did this story or not, but I'm going to just tell you real briefly anyway. About 1,000 people in Magdalena. I'll tell you what, there's a restaurant in Magdalena on the north side of the highway, right in the middle of town. A Mexican restaurant. Damn sure a good place to eat. Or used to be. I haven't been there for quite a while, but I suppose it's still there. Two deputy marshals resigned after they were both arrested for hogtying one of their girlfriends. Okay. Well, one of those things. Got to have, got to make up something to do in a small town like that, I reckon. Here's one I was looking for. Now, this is one that's kind of disturbing. You know, we've talked about the different types of encryption and encrypted, you know, secure texting and all this stuff. And there's two or three of them out there that are really, really good, really safe. However, there's two things that threaten this. One of them is, now the programs themselves are safe. We talked about Signal and Wickr and a couple others. The problem is, if they hack these phones, is being able to see what you type. They can see the password. And that is a little bit disconcerting. But other than that, the programs are safe, at least two of them, I know. But now this just came out a couple of days ago. Now, actually about 10 days ago. The FBI chief is calling this unbreakable encryption an urgent public safety issue. Now, I understand their point here. I understand that there's terrorists and criminals and drug traffickers and human traffickers and everything else that use this kind of stuff. I get that, and I can definitely understand why they would have a burning desire to be able to defeat this stuff. But at the same time, you got to look at, I think this is a Fourth Amendment issue, and we should be able to have the luxury of speaking securely to each other without worrying about the government butting in. And seeing what we're talking about. And one thing that irritates me worse than anything in the world.
Or as bad as anything in the world. I got a lot of those.
And that's the people that say, well, I don't have anything to hide. I don't care if they look at it. That's not the point. It doesn't matter if you have anything to hide. You know, when you go in the bathroom, you don't really have anything to hide. Everybody knows what you're doing in there. Do you sit there with the door wide open? I mean, there's some things that it's not anybody else's business. Whether you've done anything wrong or have anything to hide or not is not the issue. The issue is being secure in your papers and communications and all that kind of stuff. I don't remember the wording of the Fourth Amendment, but I know what it is. And this guy says, the FBI chief says, the inability of law enforcement authorities to access data from electronic devices due to powerful encryption is an urgent public safety issue. The FBI was unable to access data from nearly 7,800 devices in the fiscal year that ended September 30th with technical tools despite possessing proper legal authority to pry them open. A growing figure that impacts every area of the agency's work. The FBI has been unable to access data in more than half of the devices that it tried to unlock due to encryption. This is an urgent public safety issue. You know, they got into it with Apple, with an iPhone that they couldn't get into. And Apple wasn't budging on that. But it's important if you don't want people in your phone, and if you don't have your text messages encrypted, it doesn't matter if they get in your phone or not. They'll just go down to Verizon and get the records, and or you know whoever you're with. There's records out there for that. But having your phone encrypted in some manner is paramount. Just to pick up your phone and sweep it and look at it and open it up, yeah, it's convenient. But, you know, if you ever lose it or somebody takes it from you or it's confiscated, everything you have in there is available to hackers, to criminals, to law enforcement, to whatever case may be, or all of the above. So, you know, and just putting a simple, four-letter PIN in there is not much good unless your phone shuts back and shuts off and goes to factory reset after so many attempts. Now, some of these newer phones, you can set the amount of attempts that you want to do before it shuts down and goes to factory reset. If you use a pattern on there, don't just make a straight line or an X. Make a little bit more of an intricate pattern. If you use a password, we talked about passwords here quite a while back. Use what is called a complex password, which is lowercase, uppercase, numbers, and special characters. And it needs to be at least 6. You really need to be at least 8 characters. And as bad as I hate to inconvenience you, it needs to be changed about every 3 months. Because no matter how complex it is, if they put these supercomputers on them, that's not true. I won't say no matter how complex it is, because if you take a 10 or 12 character complex password, even with a supercomputer, it could take, you know, months or years to crack. But don't make it too simple. But even if you do that, I mean, make some attempt to protect your phone and your computers and stuff. And don't just make it so easy that any junior high kid can pick it up and get in there. Don't use phone numbers. Don't use social security numbers. Don't use addresses. Don't use birth dates. Stuff that, you know, all the normal thing that people tend to want to use to make it easy so they'll remember it. You know, make up a little acronym of some kind. And, you know, you might use a date that's significant to you in some manner that maybe nobody else knows about, like, the date your dog died or when you won your first trophy at a horse show or whatever the case may be. Not birth dates or anniversary dates or something like that. And add into the mix your acronym. Acronym is probably not the best way to do it. Acronym is not what I meant to say. Let's say you have a phrase of some kind that you're, or you just look a phrase up. Let's say, you know, Jack and Jill went up the hill. So you might start it out with a capital J and a small J and throw a couple letters in there. Put something in there that will help you remember what that is so that you don't have to write it down on paper and hide it somewhere. If you do have to write it down on paper and hide it good. We need to protect our privacy. Things can be used against you, whether you think you've done anything wrong or have anything to hide or not, is not the issue. It's the point that if they want you bad enough, they will damn sure find something in there to use against you. And it seems that, especially over the last very few years here, there has become a rather urgent contest between them and us. And it's a mystery to me why it has to be that way. Why they're automatically, their goal is not to find out if you're guilty or not. Their goal is to prove that you've done something wrong, no matter what they have to do. And this is what they got nailed for in the Bundy case. Why was it that it was so important to them that they had to lie and fabricate stories and incidents and leave stuff out just to make here's what we observed and give them the whole story, and then when it's done, if the Cowboys won, okay, well, good for you guys. The court has decided that you wasn't as bad as what we thought. So, you know, more power to you. Go on and raise your cows. We'll, you know, till next time.
So I don't know. I don't get it. Don't understand it all. Let me go over and check my chat room and see what's going on over here. Looks like we've gone from cowboy action shooting to hunting hogs. NM Glock, you got any hogs over around where you're at? I've got some people over in not too far from Pietown interested in hunting hogs over in New Mexico, and I'm trying to think of a good place to take them over there. We might find some. I hear there's quite a few of them right there in your neck of the woods or in that area, in that corridor there along I-25 and east of there. So if you've got any places there, well, give me a holler. We might be wanting to do that here in the next 2 or 3 months. All right, let me fire up my crystal ball here again. Here's another deal going on in Santa Fe. Brand new story. Another organization there wanting to take down the Ten Commandments. This is in, where is it at? This is, there's a monument in Santa Fe. It doesn't say exactly where it's at here. Oh, it was erected by the FOE, by the Fraternal Order of Eagles, as a public relations stunt to help advertise the 1956 film The Ten Commandments. And now the Freedom From Religion Foundation, that's who it pretty much always is, wants it taken down. It says the city of Santa Fe has no business telling citizens which god they must have or how many gods they must have. Now, if the Fraternal Order of Eagles put this up, why is the city of Santa Fe... why are they saying the city of Santa Fe has got anything to do with it? In a letter to the city attorney, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is asking the city to remove it from public property. Okay, it looks like the Eagles put it up on a public
property. Yeah, I still don't understand why that is an issue. Why is it a problem? Yeah, it's on public property, but the city didn't put it there. Even if they did put it there, I don't have a problem with it. But if you try to stretch your mind enough to understand their point, if the city didn't put it there, but it's on property, how is it that the city then, or the government, advocates in any way, one way or the other, as far as what God to worship or how many gods to worship or whatever? I don't see why, how these people, I don't know what makes them tick. I guess it's the same bunch of idiots that wear these silly pink hats downtown, and I don't know. I'm really running out of patience with these people, though. It says the Supreme Court has said the Ten Commandments are not civil, they are sacred. They're not supposed to stand alone on public lawns. It's really an insult, I think, to walk past a city park and have the city telling you what God you're supposed to be worshiping. I just don't have anything else to say about that. I don't know what to say. It seems easy enough to me to not look at it if it bothers you. You know, if we walked by, would they say the same thing? I want to know if they'd say the same thing if some outfit come along, if Madeline O'Hare or whatever her name was comes along and says, there is no God. There, you can't worship God here. There is no God. If someone put something up like that on city property, would the same group say anything about it? It seems like only Christians that they're fighting against all the time. When they have satanic monuments put up in certain places, they have Muhammad put up in certain places, Allah, and all this stuff, nobody says anything. Doesn't seem to bother anybody too much. But let a Christian do it, and all of a sudden it's a big deal.
Tell you what, NM Glock, if you you say there's supposed to be some, if you know there's some, if you think it might be worth making a trip over there, I know it'd be worth it because I'd get to visit with you. But these other people are hell-bent to kill a hog, so I need to take them somewhere where they got a pretty good chance. But that's right, Doc. That's right. You know, it's funny, too, that they, and this is an old saying, everybody's heard it, that there's no atheist in a foxhole. It seems that when the bombs are falling and the bullets are flying and all that stuff, all of a sudden people find God. And I find that to be exceedingly hypocritical. They want to stick up for their rights and get the Ten Commandments removed and all this stuff right up until the point where they think they're going to get shot and get hurt. And then all of a sudden it's not so bad. And why is it that some of those people will exclaim sometimes, oh my God, really? I don't get it. Oh, anyway, we're going to take a little short break here. And let's see what sounds good. Yeah, let's put this out there. We'll take a little short break and I'll be back in just a minute.
What this world needs is a few more rednecks, so people ain't afraid to take a stand. What this world needs is a little more respect for the Lord and the law and the working man. And we could use a little peace and satisfaction. Some good people up front take the lead.
You think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
And it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised. For the Lord and the law and the working man. We could use a little peace and satisfaction. Some good people up front.
You can't take me. I'm free.
Our houses are protected by the good Lord and a gun. You might meet them both if you show up here, not welcome, son. Our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew, we fry everything out here. We
have to be a party come this November, where we're gonna set things free. Good people gonna gather round, gonna show what made this country free. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. Every one of them looks like a nail.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
Wake up in the middle of the night in a truck stop, stumble in a restaurant, wonder why I don't stop. Well, I gotta keep rocking while
you ain't seen nothing till you sing the Montana Red. Big shot, big pirate, 30 all six on the drum rack.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Hey, how would y'all like to have a short-barreled rifle and not have to pay the tax stamp and all that stuff for it? Well, Franklin Armory is making that happen. 11.5-inch barreled non-NFA firearm with stock. What they've done here is take a... it's not a rifle. It's not a shotgun. Not sure what they're going to call it. But they have some new technology to stabilize the bullet. And they use rifle cartridges, which keeps it from being a shotgun. And it does not use rifling, which keeps it from being a rifle. It has a stock, so it's not a handgun. So this is an ATF has given its blessing. The patent-pending technology employed will create a whole new market segment that will not require NFA approval. So what they're going to cost, I have no idea. It'll probably be like silencers. They got something new. They'll charge, you know, $8,000 for it. And people jump all over it because they can't. You can bet that I will not be jumping all over it because I can't. It's not going to be that much. We'll see what they're going to be. There's no specs or pricing information or anything available right now, but they say it will be available at the SHOT Show if you want to go and check it out. So when that news comes out, I'll be interested to see what happens. There's a website here called, what is it called? Let me get the name of that again. edhelper.com. And there's an article in here written by a gal named Phyllis Nagley. What is a citizen? If you were born in the United States, you are a citizen. That means you're a member of our country. So I don't know what grade she wrote this for, but it gets worse. Sometimes people who are not born here want to become citizens. They do this by asking the government to make them a citizen. This is called naturalization. So I'm guessing that they wrote it for, you know, second graders or something. But here's where it gets interesting. This is described, maybe the intent here is more pure than it sounds, but this is not the way to go about it. When you are a citizen, you have rights. Here's what she says rights are. Rights are special privileges that the government gives you. In our country, you have free speech. You are also given the right to choose a religion. In America, the press is free to tell you what is happening in the world. The Bill of Rights lists the freedoms given to citizens. The freedoms given to citizens. This is very obviously written for a very young and tender age. First, second, third grader, somewhere there. So they're being indoctrinated right from the beginning that the government is all-powerful and gives us these rights. Nothing could be further from the truth. Many people in the world do not have freedoms like we do. Because the government gives us rights, we have the duty to be good citizens. But what does it mean to be a good citizen? How can you be a part of giving back for the freedom you have? So I'm supposed to do something nice to repay the nice government for allowing me the freedom that I have. Being a good citizen means you show your love to your country. You can do this by being courteous to the symbols in America. Singing our national anthem and respecting our flag are ways to show how much the United States mean to you. Okay, I'm all right with that. Being a good citizen means show your love for your country. That's okay. You can do this by being courteous to the symbols of America, the symbols in America. Sing your national anthem, respecting the flag. Being a good citizen also means obeying the laws in your community and school. Laws are made to help you and keep you safe. Obeying the laws also show you respect for others. You can also treat people with kindness. Being friendly to those who are different from you is also part of being a good citizen. Perhaps there is someone new at school. One way to be a good citizen is to be welcoming to that person. And the rest of this is pretty benign stuff, but I'm guessing probably the teacher doesn't really understand. The teacher probably really believes that. The teacher may be a 21-year-old fresh out of college student that is substituting or something, and she really believes that. But it doesn't make any difference whether she does or not. It's still planting the same seed and doing the same damage to these young and tender minds here. So, you know, check your kids' homework and stuff that they bring home once in a while. Look at it and see if you've got little kids, and not necessarily little kids. But now my daughter is, my youngest is a senior this year. And they've had a civics class. They've had to, I talked to her, I believe it's her history teacher. And she's young and pretty, you know, she hadn't been out of college too long, but she's got her head together. And, they've been teaching them about the Constitution. She's been, essays on that kind of stuff. And I've been very, very, very pleased with what has been going on. Now, Arizona no longer has a law that says you have to say the pledge, but they do have to allow people, afford them that time if they want. Now, New Mexico, as far as I know, at least when I left, New Mexico still has a law that they get up and say it every morning. And I went to school many times when my kids were in school at different ages going through New Mexico and listened to them and watched them say the pledge. Once in a while, I'd sneak into the room and join them. And I thought that was awesome. There was, when my oldest kids were in, I think, first or second grade, I came by a classroom one morning. They were playing God Bless America. So that was very cool. So when these people gripe and complain, you see them on Facebook all the time. Well, they've taken God out of the schools. They don't do this. They don't say the pledge anymore. You know, in some places they don't. But it's not national. It's not a concerted movement to take it out of schools everywhere. Because the states still have the luxury of making their own rules for this stuff like that. And the majority, I don't know how California is statewide. I don't know if there's counties, you know, if they vary from, if the state has rules for or against or allowing that, I don't have any idea. But I know that Wyoming, Montana, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, I'm a little disappointed in, but they still do at least allow the time. They don't tell people they can't. They just don't take they don't do it as a class. And, you know, I hate to say it. On one hand, I can see how that could be pretty controversial by forcing kids, whether they're Buddhist or Muslims or whatever they are, that would be very much against. So I think they should, and I, as far as I know, they do allow people to set it out. They don't have to say it. They don't have to say the pledge. You know, it's, I don't know if it's a rule to make them stand up or not, but, and I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly fine with that. By making them say the pledge is, really no different than making them not say the pledge. So, but we should be, for those that want to, it should definitely be afforded to those people that want to do it. So, Doc says, it sounds utterly useless to you. I don't know if it is or not. It depends on how well it stabilizes the bullet. If you can hit a man-sized target at a couple hundred yards with it, then I could see how an 11.5-inch room broom like that would be pretty handy. I wouldn't mind having one. Like I said, I'll see how much they cost, but that would be providing that the bullet does stabilize decently. I can't imagine it being incredibly accurate, but if it stabilizes it to a decent degree, it would be a great truck gun. It'd be a great house gun, camp gun, just something to, certainly not anything you want to take out hunting, not anything you want to engage UN troops at 1,000 yards with or anything, I'm sure. But I don't know. I shouldn't say I'm sure because I don't have any idea. Maybe they've come up with some way to do this that still gives it the accuracy of an AR-15 of comparable barrel length. I don't know. Maybe I should say a rifled AR-15 of comparable barrel length. But I'm dang sure willing to look at it with an open mind and see what happens when they come out. If they'll hit a man-sized target at 200 yards, which is really not that great, but if they'll do that, I would probably be looking to try to get me one. I'm anxious to see how they get more information on how they manage to stabilize that bullet. That's going to be interesting. Okay, we're going to spend some time on a few things that you should have in your long-term storage, a few things other than food and stuff. Things like certain types of medical supplies. Now, there's no end to this, and I'm not going to say there's no wrong answer. There is wrong answers. But everybody has their own idea what is best in these situations. But there are things that we'll look at, some different products we'll look at multiple uses for, and see if that is something that you might want to put into your long-term storage. And one of the things we've already talked about, I'll mention it again. I'm not going to spend any time on it either tonight or when we do the show. I'll probably do this Wednesday. But since we already have talked about it, I'll mention it real quick. And that is the sterile saline solution that they use for, contact cleaning and that kind of stuff. It's sterile. It has a certain amount of saline in it. It doesn't have a lot, so it's going to take a little more than the average saline solution, what do they call it, normal saline solution, NSS, I think. But it's available at Walmart. When you don't have anything else, it'll work. And even if you don't use it for IV purposes, it is amazingly wonderful for cleansing wounds, and it's cheap. You can buy 12-ounce bottles of it, two of them, for like $6. And I strongly encourage people to have 10 or 20 bottles of those things put away, and put one in your first aid kit in the car. Put an 8-ounce bottle in your trauma kit in your bug out bags and stuff, along with some colloidal silver and whatnot for cleansing wounds. And it's something that wasn't designed for that, but it's a great resource. It's a great addition. Long term prep pin of the day: save your melted candle wax and buy candle wicks online. Then you can recycle the wax and make new candles. With paraffin candles, I encourage people to stay away from paraffin candles and use beeswax. Beeswax candles, the wax will consume, and there won't be hardly anything left at all when the candle burns completely down, if you stand your candle properly and burn it right out of the where there's no moving air, no breeze, no wind, and don't put it up close to a reflecting surface, like putting it up against a tin wall or a glass window or something like that. And if it burns straight with an uninterrupted, unbothered, unmolested flame, then it will consume itself and there's really nothing left to save. They burn hotter, they burn brighter, and you can burn them in a pup tent or a snow cave without fear of carbon monoxide poisoning. So they are more expensive, a little bit harder to find. I mean, you can't just run down to Dollar General and pick up a handful of them. But they're worth searching them out, definitely worth keeping. I used to be a dealer for beeswax candles, and we've got quite a few of them put away for that reason. I've got them in my backpacks. They have a much higher melting point. You can put those in in the trunk of your car in Phoenix, and they'll deform a little bit, but they don't just turn to a clear liquid and you open up your paper towel and you have a string left in it. They're amazing candles. They work really, really well. Like I said, they are more expensive though. They're not prohibitively expensive, but they do cost a little more. I think they're worth it though, because they last longer, last much longer. They have a much higher and brighter temperature. And if you need to read or even cook meals. The 3-inch candles that we had, I think it was, I can't remember the size of the cup of water I put on it, which would be important to see. But it boiled, I think we did a regular cup, an 8-ounce cup of water. And it boiled it in like 20 minutes. I don't know. I'll have to look at some of my notes again and see what those are. But look into it. Look into getting some beeswax candles. And when you do, make sure that you get solid candles. Make sure and don't let them gyp you by giving you the ones that are honeycombed. They have, sometimes we used to do this in Cub Scouts, and that was to put crushed ice in there as we poured the wax in, and then when the ice melts, it left little cavities, little caverns in the wax. And it was decorative, and it looked neat, and it was fun to do, and all of that. But you don't want to do that with your beeswax candle. You're just wasting your money. So. All right. Well, it's about time to ease on out of here. And see if I can get everything ready here without causing too much of a distress. Mm-hmm. We'll be back Wednesday. Hold on. Is that breaking news? Nope. We'll be back Wednesday. And like I said, we're going to talk about a few of these long-term preparation deals. I'm not going to talk about bug out bags or anything like that too much. I think we've covered that pretty thoroughly more than once. So, all right, I think I got everything prepared without messing up too bad. So I will see you guys Wednesday for another edition of the Shooting Bench, and I appreciate you guys joining me. See you then.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.